lovely people. Welcome to yet another week of our podcast. I'm Noreen.
I am Amanda.
And together we are
Love Is It.
Where the U is for you.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of Love Isn't with your host, Amanda. And introduce yourself, ma'am.
Oh, I was just saying Duchess A.
That's my other name, okay? Mm-hmm. That's my other name. Welcome to our podcast where we talk about things, everything love, everything what love isn't. What love is, what love shouldn't be, what love should be. How are you doing, Lori?
I'm here. It is after a long weekend, although it doesn't feel like a long weekend, but it's after a long weekend, and I'm just going through life right now. Especially today, I've just been going at it, like, woke up with the intention of doing a certain day and it got turned into something else. So adjusted to that, and then I had my brother make me umsobo, which I appreciated. Because, you know, I like rice with umsobo, but I can never make it the way someone else makes it. I always appreciate when someone else makes it for me.
Can you translate the umsobo for the people at the back?
It's gravy.
Really? Is it gravy though?
Well, what would you call it?
I don't know. I won't call it gravy.
Well, it's okay.
Like broth with a lot of flavoring.
But it's not just it. Broth doesn't even have tomatoes.
This That's is what got I mean. It with a lot of flavor because it's watery.
But I think the definition of gravy is the sauce that comes with your stew.
I guess, if that's the definition we're going for.
That's the definition we're going with. So we are going to actually put a date on this, but it's going to end a little bit later. It is the day, it's the 15th of February, and it's after Valentine's Day. So how was your Valentine?
My Valentine sucked. I did not get no flowers. I did not get any chocolates. I didn't get nothing, you know? And this is the part where I'm going to start being like, oh my gosh, I don't celebrate Valentine's Day. I do. I just don't have nobody to celebrate.
I celebrate you, okay? I celebrate you every day.
Thank you. I'm lying. My Valentine didn't suck. we went on Galentine's Day getaway, and that was fun. So it didn't suck. It really didn't suck.
Well, I guess that's an episode of its own, too.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, we did a little bit of a getaway, because first of all, we have not left the city in such a long time. We can't fly, so we were like, but we can drive. Well, I didn't drive, but
it's always the ones that don't drive that be like, we can drive.
I don't mind driving. I just don't want to hear anybody's mouth that we're going too slow. I don't mind.
Okay.
I'm not gonna go like in an accountable speed just to please other people. I'm going to take my time.
But also, we have what they like to call time constraints that we need to arrive at a certain time. So it tends to be the ones that are keen on time can be the drivers, right?
I guess. Because for me, I'm like, I don't mind leaving an hour early, waking up an hour early, if I'm the one driving and saying, we're going to take our time and we're going to go. I don't really mind. I actually like driving. It's just other people being like, you need to drive faster. Ma'am. kind of like that. Anyway.
So how long is a 3-hour journey supposed to take us in this clientele feels that you keep
important? In my timing schedule, this 3-hour journey will take you 4 hours. I will not apologize for that. You will get here safely, slowly, and on the time that I had planned. But you get there. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm one to say I can drive when it's still bright out. I don't like driving at night. So I need to be like driving in the daytime. I don't want to drive at night. The lights from across the highway feel like they are part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not about that life.
I hate driving at night, but I can do it. It's one of those things where I'm just like, I put on my glasses. As long as I got my glasses on, we'll be fine.
We'll be fine. I just don't like it. It's not my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are here to talk about everyone's favorite topic or least favorite topic to talk about.
Money.
And it is... What?
I said money.
Funny. I don't mind talking about money.
I know. Anyways, guys. I'm
sorry for another day.
Happy Black History Month, first of all. You know, we're halfway through it.
No. We're never halfway through it.
Well, technically,
the
month they gave us. We're halfway through the month.
I also found out it was Psychology Month. Everyone just trying to make it in February too.
It is also Métis Month, which is a conversation for another time. So it is February gets given to a lot of people.
Yeah, it's kind of like them white people didn't want to sacrifice Thanksgiving, Christmas, January. I guess a little bit of Valentine's Day, but St. Patty's Day. Like anything else that happens any other month, Victoria's
that celebrates white culture.
Yeah, and then it was all put in February.
Mm.
Yeah.
So
no. The topic isn't that.
The topic is Black love.
Hashtag Black love.
Hashtag Black love. And since it's the month of love, right, we might as well talk about it. But
also, and then we're going to talk about it in the context of blackness?
Yes, in the context of dating, marriage, in the context of if you are pro-black, can you date outside of your race? And how does that work if you are black and you're an activist for black lives, you're doing all these things, and your partner, the person you sleep next to all the time, is not a black person. How does that work? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
I want to bring you back and start from... I love hashtag black love. I love seeing black couples on my feed, on Instagram. I live for it. Mm-hmm. And then I think a few weeks, if not even a week ago, I got to reflect on what is black love. And right now what we define as black love is when two black people choose each other, when two black people can make it work or finally make it work or whatever the story is. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we emphasize or have a discussion about in the diaspora.
That's true.
This is not a discussion in the motherland. I sound like something.
In the motherland, it's just love.
Right? And I don't think this is something that in any Caribbean countries, they're like, hashtag black love. Because technically, everyone's black. And secondly, the way we define blackness is a very tricky situation. I would say I'm black because my ancestral line is all black. Mm-hmm. But then the moment someone has one drop of blackness, even if they are 99% white, they are black. Right? So when we even start to have the conversation about people like Trevor Noah, he's 50% black and white.
But the world does not see his whiteness, do they?
But the black culture also excuses his black side.
What do you mean?
When he dates white, we tolerate it and accept it more?
The whole of dating outside of your race thing for me is a little bit tricky. In the sense that, well, in this political climate, it is wise for you to date.
Keep it home.
It is wise for you to date your race, right? Within your race. But at the same time, when it comes to dating, it's about, there's a lot of things that go into that. And also proximity is part of that. Like you're dating the people that are around you. So if you are surrounded by white people as a black person, and you are now infused into the white culture, are you really going to get out of that space that is now your space to go find somebody else, or you're going to date what's around you?
So I'm hearing you say, based on your worldview, mm-hmm. what you are exposed to, that's going to determine who you will find attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Who you can connect with, therefore who you're going to be in a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want to give as much context to this conversation before I start saying my thoughts. And part of the context here is, in this political climate, as Amanda said, if you're going to be someone that is Black Lives Matter and you're going to be fighting for the Black experience, equity, because clearly equality is not going to get us anywhere, equity of the Black experience, whether we're talking within what opportunities we have, financial standing, educational opportunities, how much debt we have, how much we get charged, what places we're allowed in and what places we're not allowed in. How can you let someone that is not black into that space? But the space I'm talking about is into your intimate space. There's one thing, and we've said this over and over again, we're all constantly performing in life. We get it, right? We're all performing. We've got that part down. But this is the space where you can stop performing. Are you truly performing? Or is that truly who you are now? And we're finally seeing it with the partner that you choose to be with. I don't want to police Trevor Noah. I love Trevor Noah, guys. As an individual, I love Trevor Noah. But also, Trevor Noah, there is Lupita. Mm-hmm. Like, we fought for that one for a few times. There is so many beautiful black females out there that you could have your choosing with, including myself.
How? Okay, so mostly about you here. Okay.
How do I reconcile you saying, son of Patricia, my mom is black, I love my mama, and then you go and date a white woman. You go and be with a white woman. This is the part where I was going to excuse Trevor Noah in particular. When you talked about, based on your worldview, who's around you, when he lived in Durban, it made sense that he was dating Indians because that's who was around him. In New York City, Are we saying he's around white people? He can't see the black women?
I'm not saying that he does not see the black women. I'm saying that maybe he's experiencing more things with the white people that he's with. Maybe he doesn't even get to hang around the black women as much as he gets to hang around the white women.
So the ones that come to his show, he just lets them out.
But like, that's a work setting.
As if that has stopped anyone in Hollywood.
Yeah, but also maybe he values he's like that professional person. And also maybe...
Okay, I was saying, you're saying Trevor Noah has never gone to an awards show and ran into Lupita and said hello. But you look beautiful in your dress.
At the same time, we do not know Lupita's relationship status. So we're saying first of all, if it's Trevor Noah...
Lupita and I have a hotline. If she's not available, she's about to send it over me.
It also goes back to, are the black women that Trevor Noah is attracted to, are they attracted to him back or not? The Lupita.
Did he try, though? Did he try?
What do you mean, did he try? We don't know this. This is just... But all I'm saying is that we can't just blame him without looking the other people that we're talking about.
No, I'm not blaming him. I said I was more inclined to excuse him within this particular context.
Okay.
Right? Because, okay, here is the second piece to this lovely situation. We see, as black people, we see Trevor Noah is black. I don't know if Trevor Noah sees himself as black.
I think he does see himself as black.
When
he talks about black people, even when he's doing the news, I don't think that he has. I've never received him as if he was a white
man. And for the black,
You know, for me, every time he talks, I've always received him as he's speaking for the black people. He is a black person. I've never seen him otherwise. But also I wasn't listening for that. So now that I'm going back and listening to him, it might be a different experience. Because now I'm also
struggling with, like, when do we disconnect what he does in his bedroom from who he is in the public sphere?
Well, I don't think that he gives anything other than his work. He doesn't give us his private life. Has been private for the most part. So all we get to know is the Trevor in the news. I think that's also where there's a disconnect, in the sense that in the news you're talking about Black Lives Matter and all these things and being back to the max. And when we are seeing you on the outside, you're holding hands with I think that's where with the white woman, that's where the disconnect happens, where it's, how can you be pro-Black and date outside of your race, right?
Yeah.
Does that make you any less pro-Black? This is what the question becomes.
Sell out. I'm kidding. There's a little bit of it. But when you look at the way Hollywood has been set up for the longest of time, in order for you to have been successful or made it as a Black man, not all, I am going to put Samuel L. Jackson out there and be like, no man's has been in a black love situation from day Denzel one, okay?
Denzel Washington.
Right? There's a few we can name, right?
There's a lot we can name.
But yeah. Also, we can also name the other side of things. From the Terrence Howards to the Ty Diggs.
But you also, right? I think you have to one thing I'm realizing as you're talking, I'm realizing the generations. If you're looking at the Denzel Washingtons, the Viola Davises, they are a little bit older.
And so then the definition that got lost is the one in between?
Yes. Because like Samuel L. Jackson, everybody else, when they started, they were holding on to their
their blackness, their, who they were.
Yeah, right. And then you get to the Tay Diggs, the Terrence Howards, and this is when, and most
basketball. I think Morris players, Chestnut too, guys. I don't know Morris
Chestnut's name. Morris Chestnut's wife is black. Stop it. She's black. I did some research.
But okay. Also, what kind of black are we talking here?
But blackness is blackness. I don't care for the division of these light-skinned black, or you are 50% black, because I don't think that when you go out there and the police stop you, they think of your 50% whiteness.
But I think it also highlights an interesting piece, that it's not, we're going to go pick. And here's the thing, guys, I'm not saying you need to just be with someone that's black in order for your black politics to be in place and to be in order. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just playing that side of things to say, as a black man, we're already conditioned to believe, I'm speaking for the black men today, they're already conditioned to believe that the lighter a female is, the better. Not all of them, right? But there's already a precondition about that. And even if they are black, they tend to be more on the lighter side than on the darker side. I'm not generalizing, I'm not saying all of them, but I agree with what you're saying. There is a generational difference in what you're highlighting.
That's true. But I think that this whole topic for me is conflicting, because I'm all about also like, love whomever you love. Mm-hmm. Right? If you are comfortable sleeping next to somebody who stormed the Capitol, that's on you.
Right? It could be about the Capitol.
But I'm also in this place. But also, one thing, this is why I'm conflicted. When Donald Glover, Childish Gambino, was coming up, black people always low-key considered him a weirdo. If we're all being honest, right? And the more successful he got, that's when black women started being like, ooh, we see you. But when he, you know what I mean? It feels like when he was in the come up, he wasn't seen, and his potential wasn't seen.
So you're basically telling me that if you want your potential, to find your potential, find you a Becky. Beckys can breed potential from miles away.
I'm not done. So I think that we didn't expect. I also do not know if he was attracted to black women, because there's also all these things that play into it, right? So he was not out there as most people. And then when he got more successful and started doing all these shows, and he's always been pro-black, he's always been about black people, he's always wanted to highlight black talent, black culture, black everything. Mm-hmm. And then he went on and married I don't know if she's white or she's Asian, but she's not black. And black women were in uproar. And Twitter came to his defense and was like, wait. Y'all were not checking for this man. All of a sudden, he's married to somebody else. Now you're checking for him.
Can you, like, wait and marinate? Because, our poverty mentality, our singleness mentality tends to blind us as black women. Okay? Can you be gentle with us and, like, give us some time? Because I agree, at times we don't see someone's potential until they've made it. And when they've made it, we're like, why are you not choosing us? When in reality, maybe we were not choosing them in the first place.
Right. There's that.
I get that. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. Right? Here's where I think it feels like black women don't get chosen. We're going to use the example of Serena Williams. Mm-hmm. Did she not go out with Drake? Did she not go out with Common? And the only one that would wife her was a white guy?
Mm-hmm. I remember that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, as much as, yes, black women, we may not see the potential, and it takes us forever, we're always put in situations where we end up feeling like we have to go elsewhere.
Mm.
So I get it when black men go elsewhere either.
No, but
I just struggle with it.
No, no, I get that. I get that. But I also think that I don't think that it is also we're not seeing potential. You could be seeing potential, but also maybe these are not the men you are used to dating.
Mm.
He's not the type of man that you're used to dating. Because there's also that you're used to dating a certain type of man. And then
I thought about that.
So it's like he might have not been a traditional black man, or the idea of what you think black men should be. And at that time, and you have to remember now in this day and age, there's a lot more people accepting people for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a time where people were trying to box black people into being, this is what you should be. This is how a black man behaves. If you're doing anything other than that, it's either you're gay or you're not black enough or this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So if your race, like at the end of the day, if I keep on trying to date black men, and I keep getting rejected and getting my heart broken, I am not going to be looking for black men no more. This is a statement. I'm not going to sit here and be subjecting myself to heartbreak over and over and over again in the name of
black men. Not being chosen.
Mm. I'm not going to sit here and be like, wait. I'm not going to wait here for the black people to choose me. If you're not choosing me, I'm getting up and I'm going to choose what I want for me. That's the same thing that girl who did Queen and Slim said. She said black men never used to call her beautiful. She only did those type of compliments from white men, which is why she ended up marrying a white man.
And then
black men were in uproar. But you never expressed to sis that she was beautiful.
Oh, we would be in uproar, guys. We ready?
You never made her feel beautiful. But now that also because when you the more successful you become, I think as black people, we want to hold you to this. You have to keep supporting black people.
That includes in your bedroom. Who you have sex with. But you know what I just thought about?
Yeah.
Is when you're talking about how, whether we're boxing people or there was a time where we could not accept that some people were different.
Mm-hmm.
I realize there's something that maybe we don't get to actually talk about or bring to the table as often is the fact that, and I'm generalizing, so please forgive me in the statement. Becky has inheritance. Becky's student loans are already taken care of. So Becky has more room and time to deal with potential in air quotes. Whereas I can't deal with potential. I need to know where we're going. I need to know when it's happening.
You also know what I was just thinking as you were saying that. There's this thing on Twitter and on Instagram that I was like, let's normalize having love without struggle, having love.
Mm-hmm.
If having love without struggle means me stepping outside of my race, isn't that a win? Because now I'm already like changing the dynamics of my future children, of them seeing healthy love. And because if you realize the way black love is depicted in movies, it's always struggle after struggle. Somebody has to cheat. They have to be in poverty. They have to go through all these things. And so often than not, when you are used to trauma, when you get into a place where there is none of those things that you're used to, a few of us recognize that as love.
Very true.
You're like, but when is the other shoe going to drop? So you end up
suffering yourself. Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, that wasn't love. He didn't love me. He was never jealous. He never did all these things. It was too easy, blah, blah, blah. But it takes, later on, maybe that's when you realize, maybe that was love, because, you know, but it's like, because we are so used to seeing this toxic love in the movies, we're so used to seeing all these other things that we call love, it's difficult for us to wrap our minds on something healthy and something beautiful. And maybe these people, this is what they were looking for, or this is what they were bringing to the table. And some women are just like, nah.
But are we saying we can't find... Okay, that's not true. Are we saying, to some extent, Black love tends to be Marie and Malcolm?
No. I think...
It tends to be. I'm not saying all the time. So if you want to find love in a different space, you're actually having to go out?
No. I'm not saying that it tends to be. In the sense, I don't believe that. I think that what we see in the media and in the movies for the longest, what we used to see was that.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're so, I think that when we forget to look at the people around us, we're looking at the social media, the TVs, the movies, instead of looking at your parents and seeing how they made it work.
And it goes back to my point. In Africa, there is no Black love because all love is Black.
That's true.
Right? And if the love that we see around us is just that way, you are more likely to just go straight to that. But because we're in the diaspora, we're exposed to interracial relationships. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with them. I think wherever you find love is where you find love. Wherever you find your home is where you find your home. Sorry, I'm trying to hold my judgment back. How am I going to say this? I still stand by that. And I'm out for find your love. It's great. And I agree with you. It is unfortunate that when you are in the spotlight, we want to see you exude everything Black.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Beyonce was with a white guy, it just wouldn't make sense. If Obama was married to someone from a different race, it just wasn't gonna sit right. Right? And then we go into Jesse Williams. He's always been Black. The time he stepped out of that whole Black situation, we was not happy.
But remember,
Michael B. Jordan show up with the white girl. We're like, we're about to cancel you.
I keep saying this. Every time the people that we're mentioning, they are all about pro-Blackness and pro... So we have to find a way either to disconnect their personal lives from their work or to have an understanding that a person can be pro-Black and still love people outside. Not because you still love everybody, but like date and marry people outside of their race. I think that is the part that we have to reconcile. That just because I preach pro-Blackness and I'm all about Black lives and I still don't understand it, but the more I'm talking about it, the more I'm like, ew, ridiculous, ew, stop it. But
I know we're trying to make sense of it. We're truly trying to make sense of it as we're having this conversation. We didn't come and say we had the answer. I think what we're doing is we're coming and saying, how does this make sense, or how does it settle for people, right? Because here is my biggest one. If you are going to go get a Becky, please get a Becky that when I'm looking at this Becky, I'm like, I can't even fight this whole situation. One, I can't fight this whole situation because she's that pretty, or she holds it down.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
Your favorite example is of who?
Who?
Ellen Pompeii.
Oh, let me tell something. Mm. From Grey's Anatomy is low-key a black woman. She married a black man, had black children, and she is spending her whole entire life fighting for black lives.
And it's not even I'm pretending because I'm standing next to a black man. It is opening doors, making opportunities. And when they're saying, we are not going to pay your co-star who's black the same amount, she's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
She's like clearly taking it there. And go ahead.
But I think that's the part where I see it. I get it. If you are dating outside of your race and your partner is also using their privilege to fight for the black people with you, I think that makes a big difference. If you're having a side and partner who you have everywhere you go, when you're talking about pro-blackness, pro-this, pro-that, oh, I'm all about my people, I want to see all black people win, and then you have a partner who stays mum when it comes to black lives, only thing they do is post a black square on Instagram and keep it moving. That's not enough.
That's not enough.
It doesn't look, it still doesn't look well. Because if you choose to be a public figure and you choose, these are the things that I'm going to fight for, I think that there's a certain level of, what can I call it? I don't want to say you owe the people anything, but I also think that there's a certain level, there's a certain standard that the people hold. And
let me give it context this way.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce and Jay-Z are billionaires together.
Mm-hmm.
You've never seen Beyonce and Jay-Z do the Bill Gates and Melinda Gates thing of, we have the Gates Foundation, we're here to reduce extreme poverty. We're here to make sure people get this. It is, we'll do a little bit with all this money that we have. Whereas Beyonce and Jay-Z, they don't have to be going out and talking about it. If they do it, they do it in silence and the work actually makes actual impactful change.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's the difference between those two. There's a difference between if you are like, Black Lives Matter, I'm in my lane, I sit here, I do what I have to do, but I'm not Jesse Williams, I am not Reggae Jean Page.
I was waiting for you to bring it up. We have been going for 37 minutes straight. Thank you, sis. Look at you. This is growth.
I really just trying to throw him under the bus. But I am not going out there and saying, listen to Black Lives, this and this. I also feel like it would sound and feel so weird if Kerry Washington was like, Black Lives Matter, go vote and every vote counts, if her husband wasn't black. But because he's black.
I struggle with this. I really do, because I'm like, I look at all the, because I also think, as someone who has dated outside of my race, I did myself a disservice.
I'm not going to judge me, no.
But it is, I think a couple years back, it was different. Now, when I think of it, I'm just like, no, I can't do it. The political climate in which we are in right now, there's not, you know what I mean? But if you...
There's no room for it.
There's no room for it. You know what I mean? But I think that it is, for if you have been in love with that person for years and you feel like you know them well enough,
we don't want to be surprised that the person that you've been sleeping next to could and did storm the Capitol, as Amanda likes to put it, right? Like, you don't want to be surprised that way.
Yeah. But I
was thinking...
Go ahead.
No. You go.
No, I lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
I was thinking about it makes sense at a certain time in 2021, we're less likely to accept certain things. And so we're going to bring it up more often. And then I was thinking about, if you remember when Meghan was getting married to Harry, Prince Harry, it was, Meghan has always been fighting for the rights of the less privileged. And Meghan has always been sharing and highlighting her experiences growing up with a Jamaican mother. I'm out here like, and this is the reason why Meghan is not acceptable in the palace, because she is pro-black. And that...
Ooh, I just had a thought. Do you think that for black women to be dating these so-called people?
Who are these so-called people now?
The Trevor Noahs and the all these, you know, these people in question. Do they have to bring something to the table, and all these other races, all they do is show up?
100%.
And also, another thing, a lot of black men always say this, that black women, like women, will all hold you accountable.
It's true.
And I am really learning that niggas really don't like to be held accountable.
No, they do not. They do not.
But like, I genuinely think that I don't want to struggle with somebody, struggle by myself and then struggle with somebody. I don't think that concept makes sense.
It does not. Like, if the partnership is not making me grow, glow up, and be a better version of myself, I don't think I'm in there. Mm-mm.
So
it has to be something that I'm getting out of it. And my struggle comes from the flip side, where let's say, because I'm sure if we really did our deep dive, we can find some prominent Hollywood white men that married black women.
Oh yeah, there is. What's her name? Bill Burr. Bill Burr is always lighting up white women in every comedy. The white women have canceled that man 100 times over. But because his wife is black, he's all about, I will support black women.
Yeah.
And it's like, black women are like, we will support you. So
it's the same thing as that guy who tends to be in all of the black movies.
Which ones are? Gary Oldman?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. His wife is black, so he's forever pro-black. And that highlights the commitment that we're talking about. If you're going to choose to align or understand the lived experience of someone, it's not going to be at a surface level. I think it needs to be deeper than that, right? Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know what white struggles I'm going to adopt, but I don't also understand how I would negotiate my black identity in that space. Because if I'm saying when you need to adopt and have a better understanding of that experience, it comes back to that joke that we always have. If a black woman is dating white, it's because her credit is fucked up and she's trying to get herself up.
Then
you also tend to be with someone who's also struggling. With all that privilege they have, he still be struggling. Yes, I have to fight tooth and nail for everything that I have.
That's true.
That, like, I am trying to wrap my head around that and how I would conceptualize that, because it also works the other way. It's because black people have had to put so much work towards building their credit, they will be in a better spot than their white counterpart males, and then they will be using them to get up there. I literally had a conversation at a barbershop where my barber said, do you got good credit score? I said, yes. And then he's like, so no black man is going to F with you because of that. Really? And we wasn't. Yeah. Because I come with my demands. I come with high expectations of him. Like you say, they don't want to be held accountable. If I can bring up my score and I make 60 cents to the dollar that you make, what you doing? Whereas if he goes elsewhere and they have good credit score, they will get the car in their name for you. I ain't doing that. You are also not moving into my house. Right? If we have to go elsewhere to figure this out, well, let's go elsewhere to figure it out.
But I also think that, like, I feel like sometimes the things we say as black people are low-key stupid. Are low-key ignorant. I think that we all have to hold ourselves to a higher standard than we do. And the things that I said on, because the things that I said on the movies and those things are not true, right? And then we adopt them in our real lives and be like, black men are like this, black women are like this. But no, if my credit score is high, it doesn't mean I'm going to go date outside of my race. It just means that I want to date a black person who understands the importance of credit and whose credit is also good.
And I'm not generalizing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think once you've gone through life, you've run into one or two Tyrones.
Mm-hmm.
We know this, right? We're not saying every single black man falls into that or every single black woman falls into that. But you've run through a few Tyrones in your lives that you're like, uh-uh, this seems to be a pattern. How? Tell me, Amanda, how does a grown-ass man, by grown-ass, I mean more than 30 years old, forget to pay his phone bill? You use it every single day. How do you get to getting your phone bill be $1,000 when you literally hold your phone every single day?
Mm.
Right? It is certain things people either embrace that they're just who they are and they want someone else to come and take care of that, which is problematic. And that's the part about the struggle of hashtag black love.
Mm-hmm.
We will show you the photo that we went to take. We will show you us dressed up. But we're not going to show you the struggle that we're having in the background for me to even get you to wear that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more likely to get the, this ain't me, why are you trying to change me? Why can't I show up in my sweatpants?
Shady. Anyways.
It's just a picture, right? It's just a snapshot. The most of it has more of that struggle. That's the part about black love, that there's more of the struggle than the beautiful pictures that we get.
I think that, what is it? The show Black Love on OWN?
Mm-hmm.
I think that it is a perfect, it captures the stories on black loves better than most. Because yep. It doesn't show, just when they're interviewing couples, they not only talk about just love, how, like, he talks about love, loss, financial, heartbreak, cheating, all these different things that it gives you a whole view of what black love is. Instead of that 15, 30-minute Instagram video or picture that you see.
It's a holistic understanding.
Yeah, it talks to people that cheated on each other and then they forgave each other. It is like, and then it talks to people that have smooth sailing. Because I think that we have this belief that black love should be one way. Whereas in, like, there's more, Black love is more nuanced than people make it out to be.
Yeah, I think one of our episodes we highlighted that we have to get out of the narrative of black love has to be, he cheated, I forgave him, he's got two baby mamas and I'm okay with that. And that's when we tame your goals.
Mm. That's true.
We can't. Why can't we tame you goals when it's smooth sailing all the way? As much as me and my girl Jada have a conversation pathologically and we can communicate, I am also going to say it is very problematic to see that, right?
It is.
And yes, I understand these are two people that have gotten to understand each other and live a certain life with each other. I applaud that. I don't applaud normalizing that.
Mm.
Right? I may applaud the forgiveness, but I don't applaud we're bad boys for life.
Okay. No, I also think that party, they were just trying to act like they are you could see the pain in their faces. They were just trying to act like, let's
give these people something so that we can go back and live our regular life where we're doing what we're doing.
It was like a united front. They were still going through it, but we're going to have this united front. But I also think that, I think the problem with social media is that when people share their stories, and this is something that I've been thinking a lot lately, that anybody can freaking share whatever they want. In social media, anybody can be a specialist. But the problem is that we read things or we see people's stories and we take it and we are like, this is gospel.
Mm.
This is it. Instead of taking that, okay, what in that Jada and Will's relationship did you see that you liked? What didn't you like? You don't have to take everything you're given. You can pick and choose parts of that you were like, I like that. I like that they were able to bounce back. But also, do I really want to bounce from that? Like, look at it, let it be, reflect on it and what you would take.
Depending on how much bread we have and how much I'm going to lose, I might make a different decision.
You know, and like how long, because also time, if you have been with somebody for 20 something years, are you really ready to just drop all of the, because like people put so much, we put so much value on time. Well, time is valuable because you can't really get it back. But like if you've been
dating, but you know what? It doesn't matter. 20 years, 20 minutes of knowing you, when it's no longer working for you, you're allowed to bounce.
That is true. But what I'm saying is that if there's a way to fix it back to working.
Yeah. If there's a willingness to redefine the relationship and have it look a different way, I'm not opposed to that, right? And that's going to be dependent on every couple, right? I think the unfortunate narrative is you gotta get through the bad boys, you gotta get through future to make it to Russell.
I don't subscribe to that. Miss me with that nonsense. Nope. Nah.
It is unfortunate. That's how we look at black love. It will celebrate you after you've been through so much turmoil. When you're smooth sailing, Angela Bassett has been with her husband for over 20 something years. I don't hear you go like, people be like, our relationship
Denzel Washington's son is 35 years old. Denzel Washington has been with that boy's mama since probably 40 years.
Since
before that boy was born. And we, like, it's not talked about. The people that are often talked about is Future and his toxicity. It's Chris Brown saying that I'm single with a girlfriend. It's the toxic people that, I think that there's also, because there's power to negativity, the negative things that we see are the things that we focus on. And the positive ones, it's like, oh, we expect Denzel Washington to stay with his wife, so whatever.
But yeah, like it was not even a question. Like, no way they could ever go through any difficult patches.
And then when it comes to Future, Future is toxic, but we're going to discuss that. We're going to spend 2 hours trying to find out why Future is toxic, yet he is nine baby mamas and all these things. So it's like, I don't think that is what we should be focusing on.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think that we have to, as a society, we probably have to change the things that we look at.
It is true.
Relationships that we idolize and like, let's just be our own goals.
and start wherever we need to start out.
Instead of trying out to be.
I'm going to say we need to redefine what we mean by black love, first of all. Because if Regine, at this point, can I just give you a French pronunciation?
Jesus Christ.
Because I don't even want to acknowledge your Zimbabwean traces no more. But if he finds love wherever he finds it, whether it be in the hands of Becky, Mercedes, or China, whatever it is that not black love? Because he is loved as a black man. Right? I am going to take a few days, weeks, months to like continue to like process this and think this through for myself. But that's my ending thought. Trevor, as much as I'm against Mika, Mika is cute. Mika is cute. I could do Mika. That is my last thought about this. So go ahead.
I think that as a people, as black people, we already have it hard enough. Being policed by the police, being policed by society, and also now policing each other on whom we should love and whom we shouldn't. I genuinely believe that if you found love and this is the person that you want to be with, if they stormed the Capitol with or without you, and you choose to love that person, I think that's on you, right? And yeah. I think that because it is hard to be in the front lines. I understand that it is hard to be in the front lines, fighting for your rights, fighting for black people's rights, standing up, and then also going home and having having the same conversations and the same issues. Rest, brother Trevor. Rest, Reggae. Rest.
Reggae, okay?
Rest, say. So I understand that sometimes when you want to get home, you just want to be held in the arms of white privilege with, you know, without thinking fighting for the culture, for the people. So I think that if you found love in a white woman, in a black woman, that's, like you said,
that's beautiful for you.
That's his own form of black love, because there's a black person involved in it, right?
Yeah.
But also next week, if you hear me fight about
change your mind,
like, that's where I'm at the time. You know, this is what at this point in time, this is what I'm thinking. Tomorrow, if I wake up and I'm like, these black men be playing us, that's where I'm at tomorrow. But I also just think that let's just give each other the freedom just to be.
But I think we succeeded to do that with Serena Williams.
Well, because also everybody called Serena ugly. All these black men, not all of them, most of them, called Serena all types of names. And they didn't appreciate, even the ones that she dated, a few of them actually acknowledged that they were dating. This man came in and put Serena on a pedestal and loved her how she was supposed to be loved by her own people. And this man is still now fighting for black rights. All I'm saying is that she won.
Oh,
honestly,
she won. Okay.
We as a people lost because we didn't
have. We as a people, we lost.
We lost. She won. She won in life, in love, in, you know, she won.
In her career.
In her
career. So, what is love isn't for you this week?
Ooh. What isn't love? Love isn't for me. Guys, love isn't conversations about money, guys.
Get away from here.
Am I the only one that hates talking about money?
Yes.
Am I? Like, I don't understand. I have this thing. I'm like, ugh. Somebody paid for it already and shut up.
Somebody else pay for it. Okay, here's what I'm going to admit. I hate when people talk to me about, like, these are people that I would normally have conversations about. And because there's a new interest in this investment and all of that, where I feel like I can't have a normal conversation without you telling me who you're investing or what you're investing with. I don't like that. So yeah. I understand what you mean by you don't want to deal with money.
Like the thing sorry to cut you off, but what I mean is that for me, like whenever I owe somebody money, I calculate it in my head and I'm like, this is how much I owe you. Great. And I give it to you. A lot of people act like there's this, when they express about money, it's like, you owe me. You took my money. It's like, they make it seem like it wasn't, you didn't give this money to me without me asking, and you saying, yes, here is the money, or let me buy this and you pay me back.
So for you, it's the aggressiveness behind
it's the approach
that you are not okay with.
And I'm like, I don't mind talking about money. I don't mind giving you money. If I owe you money, I never argue with anybody about money. Because I love my money as much as the next person. I would like to have mine back if I gave it to you. But it's just sometimes the approach is like, I think people always assume that because we're talking about money, the person you're talking to is going to resist, or is going to be like, I don't owe you that, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, no.
So love isn't finances, or love isn't aggressively talking about finances?
Aggressively talking about finances, that part.
Okay.
I hate it here. This is a conversation for another time. We'll probably do a podcast episode about this.
Yeah, we probably need to. It sounds like we need to unpack that for you. For me, love isn't waiting to be piqued lust. And in line with what we're talking about is, if you are not being seen, appreciated, loved in the spaces that you're currently exposed to or you're in, don't wait until someone eventually circles back. Expose yourself, get out there, do what you need to do, and find the other people that will see your light and let your light shine.
Ooh, even if they're not black.
Even if they're not. It's been us at Love Isn't.
Where the you is for you.
And we encourage you to be selfish. We will see you guys. But stay black, stay woke, and it is always Black City.
Black History Month, Black History Year. Bye.